you don't live in panic when you know you have a Heavenly Father.
But Dr. Tony Evan says many believers have overlooked how worship overcomes worry.
Problem is, we have a world today that has forgotten that God wants to be their daddy, not just a name we throw out.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Don't worry, be happy is a nice catchy phrase, but it's a pretty empty expression if there's no reality to back it up. Today, Dr. Evans will point out the difference between the bouncy cliche and the biblical command. Let's join him.
I want to tell you two words right now. Don't worry. Maybe you didn't hear me. Don't worry. In case you missed it, don't worry. Now, lest you think that comes from me, let me make a correction. That comes from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, Jesus says three times, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. He says, stop worrying in verse 25, 31, and 34. Stop it. Now you say, but how practical is that given all that we're facing, the unknowns, the crisis, the expansion, the speed, the sickness? Is that a practical expectation of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, yes, it is, because he commands us not to do it. But maybe some definitions will help us here. We have a legitimate right for legitimate concern. What we don't have the right to do is worry. Because what worry is concern gone haywire. God does not expect us not to deal in reality. If you're sick, you're sick. If you're struggling, you're struggling. But that's different than worry. Concern you own. Worry owns you. When worry tells you, you're not going to sleep right now, I'm going to keep you up. Okay. That's not concern, that's worry. When concern tells you, we're going to palpitate your heart right now and you can't get it calmed down, oh, you've now graduated to worry. When you're shaking and shivering and sweating because the concern is telling you how you're going to operate now physically, you've gone from concern to worry because you're no longer in control of it. It is now in control of you. And Jesus says, stop it. One man said, I'll pay somebody $100,000 who'll do my worrying for me. I've got so many things to worry about. Another gentleman said, well, I'll take that. I'll do your worrying for you for $100,000. Then the gentleman said, well, where's my $100,000? That's when the first man said, well, that's the first thing you have to worry about. Worry has a way of transferring it, and we see it now in the culture. When we listen to the news, when we hear what people are thinking, when we get the statistics, yeah, that it's affecting more than health, but financial markets and confining us to premises and limiting our motion and movement and raising questions about supplies of needs and food and all of that, yeah, it can kind of draw you from legitimate concern for which you should act responsible to illegitimate worry. In fact, Jesus even goes a little deeper because he says, if you're controlled by worry, he says, O ye of little faith, in verse 30 of Matthew 6. He didn't say you had no faith. He says it's too small. Many people believe in God who still worry because they have little faith. But now, how do you measure little faith? How do you know? Well, if you're worrying and that's become your pattern, you know you have little faith. And that's because of the size of your God. Some years ago, I was supposed to take a plane to a speaking engagement in Iowa. My wife was supposed to go with me until she found out that I was going to be picked up in a twin-engine Cessna to take me there to get me to the engagement on time. She said, I'm sorry, I'm not going with you. I told her, well, you don't have enough faith. She said to me, that's because you don't have enough plane. The schedule got changed, and I wind up going by a major airlines. Oh, she said, I'm going with you now. I said, your faith grew. She said, that's because the size of your plane grew. You see, the size of your faith is tied to the size of your God. When you shrink God, you automatically shrink faith. So if you and I have little faith, it's because we're operating with a small understanding and view of God. So the way you get more faith is not going faith hunting. The way you overcome worry is not by trying to tell yourself and talk yourself into not worrying. It is to expand your understanding, view of, and submission to God. So the best way I can help you to work through this crisis, help me, help those who are in our sphere of influence, is to grow God in your understanding, in your experience, and in your focus. Because when we grow him, your faith will grow with it, and your worry will shrink and become responsible concern. Jesus goes on to say in this passage in Matthew 6, you need to look at Mother Nature, who's controlled by Father God. Mother Nature is not a lady who has independent authority. She's submitted to Father God. And he says what you need to do in verse 26 is look at the birds of the air who don't sow or reap or gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, look, if you're worried about corona or anything else that's causing you to illegitimately worry rather than be limited to legitimate concern, he says you need to go bird watching because they will teach you how God operates. By the way, he calls them your heavenly Father, not the bird's heavenly Father. He says they don't sow or reap. They don't go farming. Birds don't have 403Bs, they don't have CDs, they don't have mutual funds, they don't have saving accounts, and yes, they don't have ulcers. Have you ever seen a bird with an ulcer? Because they didn't worry a hole in their belly. And yet he says, your heavenly Father, not theirs, your daddy takes care of them. So let's picture our friend the bird. He's standing on a branch, but he's not standing on the branch with his beak open toward heaven waiting for worms to drop into its mouth. Every day it goes worm hunting because it assumes something. If I'm alive, there's a worm somewhere to be found. So he doesn't alleviate responsibility out of concern to eat. He exercises responsibility knowing that the provision comes from another source. God says, when you're prone to worry, go bird watching, because you'll see how the Father operates. He says, I want you to look at him as a father and understand that this Father cares for you. And when you come to look at him this way, understand him this way, and relate to him this way, you begin to experience God the Daddy and not just God the Creator. I love Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 says that God will keep you calm even in a drought, even in a virus. So I want you to calm down. I want you to look at your family members right now who are seated with you and say, don't worry. The kids who now are understanding that they're staying out of school because of this virus, whisper to them now, hey kids, don't worry. Let me tell you about your heavenly Father. Yes, your earthly father is limited, but your heavenly daddy is not. This is the time to go daddy hunting. And yeah, we're talking about God, but we're talking about the fathering of God, who is also the great creator of the universe. You know, we've got this exercise where we're supposed to wash our hands 20 seconds and do it many times during the day. Let me give you a little secret. Use hand washing as prayer time. Just put the soap on your hands. You're washing them. Have a conversation. Hey, Daddy. You told me not to worry. You told me not to worry about the virus. In fact, you told me be anxious for nothing, you said. So right now, I'm not going to worry. I know this is a problem out of control, but you're not out of control, and you're my daddy. So as I wash my hands, when you send your kids to wash their hands, teach them to pray. See, this is a great time because Philippians 4 says, when you are tempted to be anxious, that's an invitation to pray. So you always know you're supposed to pray, because it always should be connected when you're tempted to be a worrier. And if you are going to wash your hands all day long, talk to your daddy all day long and get your growing focus on God, who is able to calm your fears. Don't misunderstand me. Corona, you ought to be concerned about. We ought to follow the directions that we're given by our government and by our leaders. And we ought to make wise decisions about physical distancing, not social distancing. We want to stay connected, but do the wise things. But still be able to sleep at night, still be able to laugh, still be able to love your loved ones. You don't live in panic when you know you have a Heavenly Father. The problem is we have a world today that has forgotten that God wants to be their daddy. Not just a name we throw out.
So how do we avoid crossing the line between legitimate concern and sinful worry? Dr. Evans will have the answer when he returns in just a moment. Stay with us.
Too often it's an us versus them society, even among believers. It shouldn't be like this, and it can't be like this. Unity is key to spiritual victory, and when believers stand shoulder to shoulder in prayer, darkness is overcome. In his book, Stronger Together, Weaker Apart, Powerful Prayers to Unite Us in Love, Dr. Tony Evans urges you to unite in prayer, providing a starting place and then inviting you to pray in your own words. Find out more about Stronger Together, Weaker Apart. Visit TonyEvans.org.
Stronger Together, Weaker Apart is the perfect prescription for the separation and discord tearing apart our nation, our churches, and even our families. It's more than just managing to grit your teeth and get along. This collection of soul-searching prayers and devotions will teach you how to actually love people you disagree with as you work toward spiritual unity. We'd like to send you a copy of Stronger Together as our way of saying thanks for your contribution to help continue Tony's ministry on the air and around the world. Along with it, we'll also include all 5 full-length messages in his current teaching series, Clarity in a Crisis, first as instant digital downloads, then on CDs that'll come to you along with the book. But this offer ends on Friday, so don't delay. Contact us right away at TonyEvans.org or give our Resource Center a call at 1-800-800-3222, where one of our team members will be happy to help fulfill your request. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that information once again after part 2 of today's message. Here's Dr. Evans.
If you will make this shift, there will be a dynamic change in your calmness meter. He says in verse 31, do not worry, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? Put it in everyday colloquial language. How are we going to make it? Am I going to get there? How are we going to do it? He says, for these things, the Gentiles, non-Christians, eagerly seek. They get worried about it. They go after it. They're nervous. He says, but your Father, here we got a daddy thing going on again, already knows you need these things. You know what our problem is today? We have too many people who've never been with a daddy who knows how to be a father. But you do have a daddy. If you're committed to Jesus Christ, you've got a daddy who is more concerned about your welfare than you are. If you want to get over your worry, here's what I want you to do. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Did you know there's some things God can't do? You said, but I thought there's nothing God can't do. Oh, yeah, no, there are things God can't do. For example, The Bible says, by two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. Another thing God can do is he can't be contradictory to his own nature. He is always consistent with himself. God can't sin. So there's some things God can't do. But let me tell you another thing God can't do. He can't be second. The moment you put God in second place, you've removed him from engagement with your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God must be put in priority, but not just because you say the word, God is first in my life. That's nice religiosity. No, he must be functionally first, not philosophically first. And what should we be looking at when we put him first? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his rule in your life. God's kingdom is his rule, that he gets the final decision over everything that has to do with you. That makes him first. He does not want to be one of many. He has an exclusivity clause here. He wants to be prioritized over the highest priority you have in your life, because when you have to make a choice, you choose him or his way of doing things. That's why you ought to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness is his standard. What is his standard on this issue? What is his standard on my life? What is his standard on my relationships? What is his standard on myself? What is his standard on this thing I want to do? What is his standard? And when I submit to his standard and relate to him as my father, because it's a relationship thing, he says, when you do this, I got you. There's nothing like a child that doesn't have to worry because they know daddy's got it. That daddy has it, not only because he has the power to have it, but because he's my daddy and he loves me. This is a great teaching moment for the loved ones in your life, for your fellow congregants, to know that you don't have to worry. If, in fact, after this passage, and you should read these verses, Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34, you should read that every day, three times a day. And whenever worry starts bubbling up, you should read it. And then you should pray to be reminded, daddy got it. Daddy's in charge. Daddy's on a roll. Kids, don't worry. Daddy's moving. No, you want to keep daddy in front of them. You want to keep daddy in front of yourself, in front of your loved ones. You want to keep daddy, because when you do, it will become clear daddy really doesn't know what he's doing. I love how he closes this section. He says, so do not worry, verse 34, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. For each day has enough trouble of its own. Most people are crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. Do you know today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday? Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. So let yesterday go, trust God for tomorrow, and be at peace with him right now. If he has you here today, believe he's got you today. You plan for tomorrow, but you live by faith today. And when you do, you will see God's Spirit allow you to breathe, allow you to sleep, allow you to rest, because you know daddy's got it. My father was a stevedore. He was a longshoreman. And the only time he got to work was when ships came in and they had to unload and load boats. So sometimes he would go weeks and sometimes months without being called into work, based on what was happening with the loading and unloading of ships. During those times when months went by when he didn't have work, I never stayed up worrying about how I was going to eat. I never stayed up worrying about how the bills were going to be paid. I never worried because I knew my daddy. You know what my daddy would do? My daddy would go fishing. Now, folks who know Tony Evans know Tony Evans does not eat fish. I don't eat fish. I eat seafood, but I don't eat fish. Because the way I ate growing up when my father didn't have work, he would go catch herring. Now, herring, that's fish with a billion bones in it, tiny bones. We had herring for breakfast. We had herring for lunch. We had herring for dinner. And then we had herring for dessert. He would catch them by the nets and bring them home. I grew up during those periods of time eating herring for everything. So I don't eat fish anymore. But you know what? I never went hungry. Now, I would prefer fried chicken. Sometimes I had to settle for herring. But I was always fed because I knew my daddy. And my daddy would do whatever it took for me not to worry. Wasn't always what I wanted. Wasn't always what I preferred. But it did meet the need. Yeah, God's not promising you everything is going to be exactly like you wanted and you won't have some inconveniences during times like this. He is saying he loves you enough to be your daddy. And as a daddy, he loves you enough to meet you at your point of need. So, stop it. Quit it. Because he cares for you. And let the peace of God, Philippians 4, that passes all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Take a deep breath. Relax. Be legitimately concerned. But don't worry. Stop it now.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how God provides for us today. And he'll be back in a moment to talk about how we can have that same assurance for eternity. So don't go away. First, if you'd like to get a full-length copy of this presentation by Dr. Evans, just ask about the title, Do Not Worry. It also comes as a part of Tony's current five-lesson series, Clarity in a Crisis, available as instantly downloadable MP3s, as well as on CDs, sent to you along with his brand new book, Stronger Together, Weaker Apart. This special combo offer ends Friday, so get yours right away, along with our thanks, when you make a contribution to support Tony's ministry. As always, details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by to help you day and night. I'll repeat that for you after this important thought from Dr. Evans.
One of the great things all of us need in life is hope. Hope is expectation about the future. That things will be better where I'm going than where I am or where I've come from. And the greatest hope that's given to us by God is the hope of eternal life. That when this life is over, we immediately enter into God's presence and don't have to worry about the scourge called death. So if you want to bypass death, you can do that because there's the hope of the gospel. The good news that anyone who comes to Christ for salvation, recognizing their sinfulness and their need for forgiveness, will be given that salvation when they come to Jesus for it.
If you want more help getting your new life with Christ started, just visit tonyevans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. Tony has a quick video that explains it all, and you'll find some free follow-up resources there as well. Again, that's at tonyevans.org. And one more time, you can reach our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Even though the coronavirus pandemic has stretched us economically and stressed us emotionally, Dr. Evans says Christians possess a very powerful tool that can transform our personal outlook, especially in times like these. Join us tomorrow as he tells us all about it. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.